Hey, Hector, man, holy crap. What's with all these Magic the Gathering cards?
Well, you know, man, it's like, chicks dig them, I guess, you know.
Looking at all these cards, man, I can't believe you've had more sex than
Diego's on.
This is on?
Oh, yeah,
Now people know I'm a virgin. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome live to This Is Happening podcast. I am your host, Diego Santos. Introduce yourself, Hector.
I am the Mexican wrestler known as El Supervisor.
El Supervisor. And today's topic, as we film live here in our studios in Des Moines, Iowa, is bachelorette parties versus bachelor parties. What are the differences?
Other than penises.
Well, as you can attest, not firsthand, Hector, but the female bachelor parties do have a lot of, like, penis themes in it.
Yeah, man, I'd tell you right now, there is a lot of peni. There is a lot of peni in a freaking bachelorette party. It's amazing. In a bachelorette party, it's nothing but women, and yet it still has more penis in it than a bachelor party, which is consistent nothing but men.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I see bachelorette parties, to me, it's like a celebration of, like, penises, or what is the plural for penis?
Peni.
Really?
Peni is the plural of penis.
All right, let's see. Who says we're not educational?
I do.
All right, we are not. Okay, so it's like a celebration of peni, which sounds very weird to say. As a male bachelor party is more like the man's funeral. Like
that's the irony, because like the bachelor party is in actuality the funeral of the guy's penis.
Yeah.
Because he's not gonna see a vagina for quite a long time if he's married. Let's face it. Like, yeah. I'm not feeling it tonight. Well, all right then.
Man, I masturbate more now that I'm married than I was when I was single.
And I gotta turn the old crank.
But yeah, like I was thinking about it, like, you know, when you see a bachelorette party, it's just like all you see, you can find a bachelorette immediately. She has like the crown, the sash. She's the one that's all happy, and not, if she's not making the most noise, she's in second place.
I just want to go on a little side question here.
Yeah.
How come every female celebration is the same? She is treated like fucking royalty. She comes in a limo or like a pumpkin. She's wearing a sash and a crown. She's wearing a dress that is worth more than the vehicle she's arriving in. I mean, like, seriously, what are you setting her up for? Is she going to be sacrificed at the volcano top? But if a guy has a birthday party, he's like, here's a beer. Happy birthday. It's done.
It's over.
Like, I just realized that. It's not just bachelorette parties. Any celebration.
Quinceañera.
Like, every time a guy has a birthday, there's almost like an air of depression about it. It's like, if it's your birthday, oh, you're one more year to impotence.
Yeah, it's like, this is very quick and simple. Like, AL Steve is here. AL! Alright, your 15 seconds of fame is over.
Get back to work,
Steve. But bachelorette, she's like, sidetrack. It's like, girls, when it's their birthday, it's like, it's no longer a birthday. It's my birthday month.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, relax. You got one day to yourself.
I'm waiting for them to... It's like Christmas. You know how Christmas used to be, like, the last week of December? Yeah. And now it's in now it's, like, November?
Exactly.
It's the same thing with a woman's, like, celebration. Be it birthday, be it bachelorette, whatever. Yeah. It starts to slowly creep into other time areas.
Yeah.
Like some sort of horrible fungus. And then, like, it doesn't even say sedentary. The funny thing, if I can say this, okay, like, it's not even so much that, okay, it's their celebration, they do their thing, they extend the time. Now they carry it with them everywhere they freaking go. You can tell where the party is. Like, what's that sound? That's a girl's party in the distance, you can hear. You know? And it's basically like a big pink Godzilla. You can see the destruction from a distance. You know what's going on. You know, but the guys are the ones, and you see, like, hundreds of men cleaning up. Because that's basically what a girl's celebration is. Them walling out and the men cleaning up. That's their idea of the perfect celebration. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And like I said, once again, like, if we go to the difference, like, if you go to a bachelor party, or if you're told there's a bachelor party around, the way you figure out who the bachelor is, he's the quiet guy in the back. Everyone else is like, shots, and they're thinking it's going to be The Hangover. They think it's going to be, you know, the movie Bachelor Party. They think it's going to be, like, wild, epic night. This is the guy screaming shots and we're going crazy tonight. This is for my brother Steve. Yeah, Steve's having a big turnout this podcast. Yeah, but Steve is in the
big
back.
Shout out to Steve.
Steve is just in the back contemplating his life right now. Like, how did I get here? Is there a way out?
No, here's the funny thing. There's like this really weird duality between his past self and his new self. Like his old self is like, yo, I'm making a kind of a big mistake, you know? Or maybe his new self's like, are these my friends? These are the people that I know. I'm getting married. I'm evolving beyond them, you know. So it's
I'm never gonna see these guys ever again.
Yeah, it's gonna be really, really, it's sad. But another thing that I've the reason that the guy is standing in the corner is because it's when a man has a bachelor party. There's another big difference. When a man has a bachelor party as a person with a bachelorette party, the bachelorette party is basically free range for the woman to go fucking nuts. She can do whatever she wants. Everything is painted pink. You know, the stripper bends over and he farts glitter. It's cool. However, the man has an agreement with his girlfriend now, or a fiance. He's not allowed to have fun. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Okay? That woman, she is basically in the aquarium of dick. She can look at dick all she wants. You know, there's dick everywhere. Dick cake. Dick balloons, little penises on the freaking straws. I've seen these things.
No, let me tell you something. Like I said, you know, in case you people don't know, I've worked in nightclubs for about 12 years of my life.
Stripping.
Yeah, stripping. And the shit that I've seen, like, the bride do during her bachelorette party, I'm just like, dude, you're getting married, and, like, you're going to kiss your husband with that mouth. I'll leave it at that, but you guys probably know what I'm talking about. And it's just like,
if you get my meaning.
Yeah, if you get my meaning. Actually, it's funny. I was thinking about it one time. I was on a quasi-date with a female. And we were supposed to
make... Wait. What define quasi-date, though?
The quasi-date was like, you know, we're doing dinner and dancing. But, like for me, it wasn't like in my head. It wasn't a romantic thing. It was just me because, you know, I was in a relationship for a long time.
So you basically lost a bet.
No, I didn't lose a bet. I was just like, you know, like I was in a relationship for a long time. That I became single for a minute. I'm like wondering, like, could I date again? Like, do I still have it in me? So I figured, let me do this practice date to see, like, hey, let me make sure that I could, you know, go on real dates. So,
as opposed to the imaginary ones you were having prior.
Yeah. So,
would you like another cracker, Mr. Snickles?
Yeah. So then, so anyway, at the end of the night, the girl she had a go-go dance somewhere. So we had to go to one bar to pick up her uniform. Or outfit, whatever you call it. So then I was going to walk her to her place of go-going.
This is where I go-go.
So in between, you know, when we go to bar A, a bachelorette party happens to be there. And they are going wild and crazy. One of the bridesmaids has relations with a friend of ours in the bathroom. Another one is, like, gorgeous as hell. Colombian. She looks like a Colombian Trish Stratus. And I immediately forget about my fake date. I'm like, bitch, get it. And I start...
You need to go home.
Like, this fake date is over. You can walk yourself to your own go-go bar. I'm staying here. So I start stripping for these girls, that, you know. And a friend of ours, who shall not be named, he, you know, right now he's the current bouncer of said establishment. And he starts... You better not. He starts also, like, mock stripping while I'm actually doing it. And you know, we start going crazy. I'm just like, man, if the groom I forgot what they're called.
That's how things, you know, that the bachelor party is so insignificant. We actually forget what role the man has to play in the whole thing.
Yeah, in the whole wedding.
Let me tell you, if I get a, not only is the bachelor, let's face it, when two people get married, you know, if man and woman usually, yeah. The man role is basically just to prove that the woman is not going to die alone. That's all that's the only role a man has, like, no other role in the marriage, like, process. Like, if after you get married, blah, blah, blah. But, like, during the wedding, the reception, everything, you're just there. You're just there to prove that to the parents of the bride that she will not be dying alone and you know, without child. You know, you're just there as like, yep, I'm the sperm donor, I guess. You know, You know, you're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to do anything. You're just there to make sure that you're male.
You're handsome window dressing.
Yes, you know. Anyway, go on. You were saying.
So that's all I remember from that night. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, the difference is between a bachelor party and a bachelorette party. Once we get these forums going on the website, I want to get your opinion, people who've graciously downloaded this podcast. You know, tell us what you think. You know, are we exaggerating? Is there anything we're missing about the differences? What's your opinion overall? Is Hector sexist?
First off, yes, I am. Secondly of all, strange enough, I'd like to, now that it's all legalized, I would like to know more of the dynamic of the gay bachelor or bachelorette party. Are they both bachelorette parties? Are they both bachelor parties? I would like to know. That's actually a really interesting question.
I think, to be honest, most men, even though they're homosexual, they still think they're men. So it's just going to be twice the bachelor parties. They're just going to, you know, hire.
But are they going to have, like, are they going to be together? Or are they going to have separate ones?
That should got to be separate, man. That's going to have to. Because if they go to, if those two bachelor parties combine, they're getting divorced before it happens.
That's why I have seen too much of you.
Sorry, Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah, so once Steve and Stefan see each other's bachelor parties, they're just like, oh, how could you? No, how could you? And it's over. They're broken up.
Well, look at the bright side. At least there's a good chance that the person they wake up to after the drunken stupor is the other one you're about to marry. So there's...
going to be the replacement husband.
Yeah, replacement husband.
So, all right, Hector, I think we're actually getting our first call from our guest.
Yes.
So let me figure out how to do this, and we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Hells yeah.
3, 2, 1. And on the line we have Hot Rod Heather. This young lady is an alternative fitness model. She does all these, like, sports runs. And what else is there to tell us about yourself, Heather?
Where do you start? I guess that's a lot of it. Otherwise, I guess it would be being an animal rescue advocate, foster mom. But really, you know, it all started out with the fitness thing coming out of a hole myself, basically, to try to inspire other people to just lead positive lives and be good examples for others.
Yeah, that's cool. Quickly before, you know, we don't know about our listeners having ADD or not. What's your Instagram, your Twitter, your Facebook, your MySpace? You have the Snapchat. It's not good up.
Facebook, well, it'd be Hot Rod Heather, but it's after Facebook.com, you know, the / Hot Rod Coach Hot Rod Heather, actually. And Instagram's Hot_Rod_Heather.
Do you have the Twitters?
Nope, I do not have a Twitters. Do I need a Twitters? You guys keep me busy enough.
Yeah, I mean, I say it's good to have one. I mean, it's good for networking and just, like, you know, pretty much pouring yourself out. That's what pretty much use Twitter for, just pour yourself out at 140 characters or less. So
I don't know if I can do 140 characters. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you can. Just, like, I just did a push-up and send a picture of you, like, posing with your arms, like, "Arr, push-up." And then do hashtag push-ups.
Of course. Hashtag push-up.
Hashtag push-ups. That's our thing. So we just finished doing this whole Battle Frog thing. We did the run, 5 miles of torture, and then, you know, how are you feeling throughout this?
I know. Hey, well, you know, you did amazing, so I don't want to hear it. You know, Battle Frog's been a really important thing in my life since I got involved as a field rep for them. I think what people that aren't involved in obstacle course racing don't understand is that it's much more than a race. It's about pushing yourself, it's doing things you never thought you would do, whether it's climbing a wall, you know, just trudging through mud that was up to your chin, that was pretty disgusting. But it's the teamwork, it's everyone pushing each other to get involved. It was the first mud run I did, actually, was very emotional. And that was why. It was coming from a place where, you know, I lost almost 100 pounds and couldn't run upstairs. You know, being able to, you know, conquer walls and climb hills and climb ropes, it's just an amazing feeling that I think people don't get all the things you can get from it. You know, the teamwork, the just feeling so good about accomplishing things. And I think it mirrors life in other ways, when you're struggling with one thing, just overcoming these obstacles, it's almost mentally you can put it together that there's nothing that can stop you in life. And that's the way you should be. You know, whether it comes to daily life, to work, to relationships with, you know, loved ones, with friends, with a partner. It's just there's so much that people don't view positively and think they can't conquer. It's just it comes down to that. It's being able to push yourself, whether it's physically, mentally, both, and do things that you never expected to. And that goes on to other parts of your life.
Yeah, I hear you. Was the first one you did, was that the one in Florida?
The first one was about a year ago. I actually did the ladies run, the Mudderella, with a few ladies that I worked out with. And it was amazing. And yeah, I went down to do the Florida Battle Frog at the beginning of this year, kind of as a warm up, and it was hot from being cold up here. But you know, I went down there, I did that by myself and made a bunch of friends along the route, and you know, had a great time and really just learned kind of what I wanted to train for, what I wanted to be ready for the next race too.
Yeah, I mean, that was a busy weekend though, because in addition to the Battle Frog, you also had like photo shoots that weekend. Who did you shoot for?
I was lost on that one. What was the shoot?
No, I'm asking, like, who were you shooting for? Because, you know, you had a photo shoot that same weekend as the Battle Frog in Florida. So that's, like, a really busy weekend for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's what it's come down to. I think my life has been just getting in as much work and as much fun as I can. That's kind of how it goes. So, you know, I had met someone that was a... actually teaches at one of the universities down there, who wanted to have a shoot with me. So we ended up doing that and, you know, having a great time. I got some great images out of that. And it is, it's a lot of, you know, networking, meeting new people. And I think it's leaving that impact, you know, making sure somebody smiles wherever you leave and getting in as much as you can, because there's just so many things that are bigger than us and important. I also had a friend down there that's been battling cancer, so that was actually the main reason I went. And, you know, I spent time with her. We got, you know, to spend some time and to reflect. And that's what matters. People matter. And a lot more people need to realize that.
Yeah, that's actually the main point, even though this podcast is a lot of buffoonery and, you know, yeah, this is buffoonery and Rule 34, but that's the message we always try to give people, is that, you know, life is about, you know, good times and good people, experiences, both good and bad, and, you know, just everything we got, you know, appreciate your friends, appreciate your family, have good times, appreciate those good times, even appreciate bad times, because you know what, you can't appreciate the good without the bad, so that's what this podcast is about.
And you have to.
Yeah.
And it should be. That's what it's supposed to do. We're supposed to laugh and, you know, have a great time. And there's going to be down times, but those good times are what will push us through. You know, is that this whole thing for me was just the biggest life change. You know, I came out of a bad situation. I was depressed. I was anxiety ridden. I was 100 pounds overweight. And, you know, when I found fitness and all these other silly things I've been doing, you know, a way of making me whole, you know, it completed me. I always knew that fostering dogs and helping animals in rescue was just such a part of who I was. But, you know, I think helping people for me turned out to be that last part. Because we have to figure out what we're meant to do. And it's not an easy road. I am, you know, working my rear end off, but I'm making sure I'm having a great time. I didn't think I'd be changing, you know, what I was doing and getting into personal training and motivation. But that's what matters in life. It's finding what you love to do, surrounding yourself with people that you love, and, you know, the kookiness along the way, like, you know, the cosplay, everything that's been happening. You know, I always joke that Wonder Woman was a natural, you know, and one of the coolest things I can, you know, hear is when I'm out and, you know, doing my Wonder Woman thing and someone, you know, tells me that I am, you know, a real Wonder Woman. Like, what better compliment can you get than that? And I'm not perfect, but, you know, that's what we do. We do the best every day to enjoy it. It's going to be fun and sometimes ridiculous, but that's the only way to live.
Yeah, I remember when you did the Wonder Woman cosplay at the Sexy Nerds party, hashtag Sexy Nerds. A couple of the, you know, the female customers, right? Like the girls who go out dancing and stuff. Yeah, the females who go out and, you know, a few of them, their eyes just like dropped when they saw you. And you're like, immediately, they're just like, holy crap. You know, this is Wonder Woman's here. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, well, you know, that was, yeah. Sexy Nerds was the first unleash of Wonder Woman. And it all tumbled from there. But, you know, it's one of that was scary, but it's all about, you know, just smiling and being warm to everybody. That's what we have to do, you know? We lift each other up, we make each other smile, and, you know, care about each other for who we are, no matter how weird we are.
Yeah, we gotta embrace our weirdness. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you, like, I guess I'll use the word inspired. You kind of inspired me to do some running, even though everyone knows I hate cardio. I hate it. It's like the bane of my existence. Yet, you know, we've done
cardio!
Hashtag cardio sucks, but we gotta do it. But, yeah, we did the, what's it called, the Cupid's Undie Fun Run for some charity.
Yep.
I was too drunk to remember the name of the charity. Google it, people. Cupid's Undie Fun Run. No, donate to charity. Run in your underwear for charity.
Yeah, that was for NKF, which is a horrible, horrible children's disease. But, yeah, we ended up running along the West Side Highway in New York City in our underwear in the snow and freezing weather. but which was pretty ridiculous, and stopping traffic, and I'm sure people had no idea what was going on, but it was another great day, and that's why I encourage, you know, people to do things for nonprofits and to raise money for people that can't, because, you know, we have these chances. I did it in the gym yesterday. I was tired. I, you know, had a long day. I didn't want to go to the gym. You know what? I walk into a gym, there's a gentleman stretching on the floor with his wheelchair next to him, who, you know, had two prosthetic legs. Like, you know, we have so much to be grateful for that we can't complain about, you know, little things. We shouldn't. We always tend in our heads, but we're very, very blessed for all the things we have. And, you know, this is one life. You make the best out of every day.
Exactly. That's like, so once again, that's kind of like the point of this podcast, where we kind of chronicle how to make the best of every week, every day, all the free time you have, man. Don't let your job define you. Make your free time count. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to Fireball for helping me out with that Cupid's Undie Fun Run. Fireball by Doc McGillicuddy's. They're actually a sponsor of our first guest, Neil Jones. So, you know. So we're, you know,
just a little bit of warmth in the cold.
Yeah. So Fireball, you helped me out. Doc McGillicuddy's. You guys are doing God's work.
Hey, you know, I'm still down with rock and roll. That's a whole other part, but let's be who we are.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, and then, this Battle Frog, holy crap. Like, I'm gonna blame my not paying attention to school. How long was it? Like 9 kilometers or something?
Well, it was an 8K, yeah. 8K. Which was a little over 5 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea it was 5 miles until one of our partners, Joseph, told me, like, a few days before. I was only prepared for, like, a few blocks, you know. I was prepping for, like, half a mile run. And then, you know, a few days beforehand, Joseph tells me it's 5 miles, and I just, I hit the panic button.
But you did amazing, and I told you, there were spots. Even at the end when I was tired, remember? You had to give me that whole big butt shove over that inclined wall. I'm pretty sure you just threw me over that wall.
Pretty much. I just military pressed you over this wall.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I remember, you know, both of you boys at times were, you know, basically a human step stool for me when I needed help. And that's the point, you know? You help each other. You get through it.
Yeah, I just remember when I was feeling heated or upset, I just kept yelling, "I paid for this! I paid for this!" Like, all sarcastic and angry.
I paid for this.
I remember when we were carrying jugs of water, and, you know, I think that was the point where I kind of started snapping. I'm just like angry at the world, and I started like marching ahead, and then I'm like, "Wait, I promised." You know, I was the one who was like, "Hey, we should all finish together." So I stop, I turn around to look for you guys, and, you know, this might get me banned from future mud runs, but two girls walk by me covered in mud, and man, were they were dressed, oh man, so I completely forgot about you guys, and I just walk behind those girls for about half a mile as they're covered in mud, and I was enjoying that view, and I just kept saying to myself,
so that's actually where you went. You ditched us for some booty.
Pretty much. And that entire half mile, I just kept saying to myself, I paid for this. I paid for this.
Oh, well, at least there's a view.
Yeah, let me enjoy the view. Let me enjoy this, was it half a mile, quarter of a mile view while I suffer head to toe in mud. But, you know, when it was over, like, you know, I was immediately thinking, like, I could go again. I could do this again. How are you feeling at the end?
Yeah, same way. I mean, it was just, you know, incredibly, just for me, it's also being proud of everyone else is such a huge part. And, you know, everyone that got involved that really wouldn't have done it before. And, you know, that's just a great feeling to watch everybody be excited and celebrate. And, you know, we were tired, we were muddy, we were beat up.
Some of us might have been hungover.
Just such incredible. Yeah. Yeah, we had a big birthday the night before. We couldn't miss.
That's what I completely forgot.
But, oh, okay, you know, it was. Okay. It was just incredible.
So, you start... Have you officially... I don't want to name drop, but have you... You're officially a sanctuary model, right?
Oh, I lost you there.
Are you officially, like, a model for sanctuary?
Yeah, I am a sanctuary official model, one of two officials in the state of New Jersey, and we've got just a ton going on. And, you know, it's a Gothic alternative magazine, so I get to be a little more free with what I do. You know, I was doing a lot more pinup before, things like that, but we're really just been creating lots of amazing original art. You know, it's exclusive images every month, which are amazing. We'll be coming up on our 1-year anniversary party soon, so there'll be details on that. And it's pretty crazy. But, you know, the whole modeling thing really started, you know, to propel my mission, my voice. And it's really, I just want to inspire other people that they can be who they are and do what they want and put that art out, push yourself. Do it, you know, just come up with what you need to do. And it's, I think one of the things that everyone's always told me since I got involved with modeling is that my confidence comes across. And for me, that's been a huge part. So I think before I doubted myself so much, like so many people do, and, you know, becoming confident in yourself and how you carry yourself is just an amazing feeling, from being down a hole to being proud of who you are and being comfortable with who you are. And that's what I want for everyone. And that's why, you know, I'm embarking on, you know, personal training becoming my full-time job, because I want to help other people find that. I want to help them be strong. I mean, even recently, you know, the friend I've been working with who's down 20 pounds, you know, in the little over 2 months we've been working out together, I watch her now when we're out and, you know, wearing nicer clothes with a huge smile on her face and a glow that she didn't have before. You know, when it's someone that doesn't want to get out of bed, that is miserable about their life every day, just pushing themselves to better themselves. It's really what it is, to be happier. And fitness for me isn't about just lifting weights or, you know, making gains or losing weight. It's about taking control of your life. And you have that there to push yourself to do things you didn't think you could do, to be happy, to be comfortable in your own skin. And how many people need that? And I want to help people do that.
Yeah, and I think you know, we show your progress, and you know, various people that you work with show their progress. I think that will inspire people. And, you know, it's much easier to do nowadays than it has been in the past. You know, like I said, we got the Instagram, which is hot_rot_Heather. You know, look her up, see her pictures.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of scary before and after pictures. You know, the old the old me versus what I like to say is the new Heather.
I think that helps with the credibility. Like, if you were always like, you know, like the way, if you always look the way you look now, they're like, this chick doesn't know the struggle. But if you see the, if you see like the before and after photos, I think that really helps people out. And then, you know, maybe add in a few videos of you like doing some moves. I think that'll also help expand the brand.
Yeah, and I do have to do more videos, but it is, I want people to see that, the before and after, because as mortified, you know, as I am to look, it wasn't me, and I came out of that shell, and I'm still a work in progress. Everyone is. I'm not perfect, but, you know, it's just been such an amazing life change that I couldn't thank my, you know, friends and family for being supportive of either. You know, keep those good people in your life. Keep positive people in your life. That's the most important, the easiest, even though it doesn't sound easy, thing I tell people. You know, cut the negativity out. If someone's going to be negative and not help you be the best you can be and be happy, that's, they shouldn't be around. It's hard sometimes, but that's it. Surround yourself with positive people that you're going to make this journey a good one. It's one life. That's it. And that's what I always tell people. Before you know it, you know, it's going to be gone.
Yeah, we're gonna be in our rocking chairs, listening to this podcast, remembering it, remembering us talk about good times.
Yeah, laughing about Battle Frog.
Yep, and we're gonna have to do a follow up after Wipeout.
Yes, we are, because I am definitely falling off those big balls. I'm telling you right now. If anybody's seen the show, I can just hear it coming. I may be bitter now, but my coordination's a little bit off.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved my workout routine to be more balance oriented. So it's like more like one legged squats and one legged, you know, like jumping steps and things like that. So I'm trying not to fall, but it's gonna happen.
We are definitely going to do that.
Because I mean, we know I like being in order. What was it? What was the tough one we did with the ropes? The rope across the lake.
The rope traverse. Yeah, that was actually, I can't even tell you what was that, 50, 75 feet you had to crawl the rope across the lake, and it just kept going in. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it was tough.
Yeah, the farther you went, like, the heavier the rope got. I guess it's just gravity working against you. And, yeah, I was 1 foot away from the goal, and I just asked the guy, I was like, listen, I could do this, but I want to jump in the water. Is it cool if I jump in the water? And he let me, so I was able to get off of that one.
Is that to wipe some of the mud off?
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm in the water. I was like, I need to wipe some of this. I kept, you know, every time I saw water, I had to, like, touch it, like, ah, clean me water, clean me.
Yes, I think that was one of the waters. And then I found the spigot, so, yeah, I cleaned everything out in the spigot. That was probably not one of the shining moments of my life, but reminder, shorts were not my best decision for that event.
I'm gonna have to shout out Paragon Fitwear. Next Battle Frog, I am going to be wearing one of their pants to make sure that, I don't have to worry about that problem again. So, shout out to Paragon Fitwear. Google them, people.
Good, Paragon. Let's keep the mud out of our secret places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I still have some of my toes.
Yeah, probably. I don't even want to think about the spot.
Yeah, are you doing the Urban Run? So I think that's like the day after Wipeout in Hoboken.
I know. We were talking about that too, but that's what I joke. There's no mud in that one, but I think we get to fly across cop cars and things, which is fun, right?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest selling point. Like, they're going to have, like, if they have a cameraman there and it's you jumping over the cop cars, that has to be like the big selling point, because everybody's going to be like, yeah, I got to look cool. And then that's when we all bust our asses. That's like, we're trying to be cool versus trying to be practical.
No, absolutely, yeah. And that'll be the moment that, that I bust my ass, too. That's the way it works. But it's okay. All in the name of fun. As long as you're laughing and smiling, you're good to go.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. Because I remember Big E was afraid of the slide at the beginning of the Battle Frog.
Yes, he was.
I don't know if he knows this, but there's like a four-story version of it at Wipeout.
Oh. Yeah, we didn't tell him that yet. For a big slide. Yeah, but he did amazing at that, and he was exhilarated at the time he got to the bottom. I remember we had a big chest bump at the bottom. Yeah. And you know, I think my bath's going to be just as great. Yeah. And a little less muddy. I do believe there's lots of bubbles back.
Yeah, a lot of bubbles, but a lot of foam. It's going to be good times. So, yeah, we're definitely going to do a follow-up episode after that one.
No, absolutely.
I don't think this is going to air in time for the Philadelphia thing you got going on. Do you know if you have any other upcoming events and things to, you know, like, plug real quick?
Yeah, well, if it's not going to air, well, just in case, yeah. Philadelphia, I'll be doing an event there with Pinups for Pitbulls. We'll be doing a lot more. And it's just another way that we can advocate, you know, for Pitbull-type dogs that are discriminated against. And, you know, I firmly believe that dogs, you know, are unique individuals. And breed doesn't matter, and they shouldn't be judged that way. And, you know, I do have a soft spot for big mush heads. But, yeah, no, I think that's the big event right now that we're posing for.
All right, so just look them up on Instagram. It's Pinups for Pitbulls, Inc., I-N-C, at, once again, one more time, at Pinup for Pitbulls, I-N-C. Look them up on Instagram. A lot of ladies that you could enjoy their photos.
And yeah, what's better than some lovely ladies and some adorable dogs?
Yeah, Pitbulls, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess they do have that reputation. But I don't even know if I should be mentioning this, but I have a really bad habit. And this is the proof that the, the stigma of Pitbulls is false. Because I do have a bad habit of when I am a few pitchers or a few pints in, I have a bad habit when I see Pitbulls, I just start wrestling them. And so far, I'm still alive and... I'm still alive, and they never, you know, attack me. They just think they're playing, but in my head, you know, I'm a little drunk. I'm like, I got you, Pitbull.
So far, you're good. Yeah, I told you. The only
that's
your big moment.
Yeah,
love it. I'm sure.
Don't do this, people. Don't. I'm not advocating it. But if you do it, I like to like say things like, you know, when I have the dog in a headlock and he's loving it, he's wagging his tail. I'm like, who's a good doggy? Who's a good doggy? Can you escape this? And, you know, they're having a great time. Good times. Unlike
him. Yeah, you just want to put him in a headlock and show off your guns.
Pretty much. And, you know, but they're having a good time. Because they're very muscular. Muscular beings.
Yeah, some of them. So. But yeah, it's gonna be a fun event, and the mission is something, you know, I'm happy to be a part of. It just, you know, goes along with everything else I'm doing and believe in, and that's what you've got to do, you know, push for things you believe in.
All right, guys. So if you want to follow more of Hot Rod Heather, please follow her on the Facebook. Look up Coach Hot Rod Heather, or just search Hot Rod Heather. It's not that hard, people. Or on the, once again, on the Instagram, hot_rod_heather.
And there's lots of, you know, pictures of me and my underwear, too, which is kind of mortifying, but I'm getting used to it.
So if you want to see this lady in her underwear, which I know you pervs do, just follow her, you know. Hit like on all the photos, you know, follow the causes. If not, start your own causes, or, you know, just join a cause, people.
That's right.
So before I let you go, Heather, do you have any last parting words?
Any parting words? No, just, you know, to reinforce what I believe, and, you know, there's a few things that I think are important, and it's, you know, love, positivity, and rock and roll. You know, it's about finding your fears, kids. Be yourself. And be your best.
That should be a t-shirt. Say that again. What is it? Positivity, love, rock and roll?
It's love, positivity, rock and roll.
If that's not a t-shirt. Finding your fear.
That's the way I like to think of it.
If that's not a t-shirt, you should make that your official t-shirt.
I know. Hashtag find your fears was becoming the logo.
find your fears. I like that. That's definitely a t-shirt. All right. We're making it happen. This is happening. We're making this t-shirt, people.
This is happening.
This is happening. And we're going to take a quick commercial break.
And thank you, Diego.
All right, and we're back. That was a great interview with Hot Rod Heather. Hector, what did you think?
She was both the heatherest and the hot roddiest.
That's goddamn right. So before we continue, we need to speak, in which we call, I don't know, we don't have a name for the segment yet. Remember when I mentioned that I had that friend that she does the homoerotic wrestling fan fiction, and I said she did it when she was in high school?
Yeah.
Well, turns out she still does it. And she told me that her latest one involves New Japan Pro, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Roman Reigns. Which I think is wrong, because, you know, Nakamura's from NJPW and Roman's from WWE. Come on, lady, keep your fan fiction in the same reality.
It's like the Capulets and the Montagues, which is the smartest joke you'll hear on this podcast, by the way.
So smart, I don't even know what he's talking about. Hector, so what do you want to talk about, brother?
Well, I want to talk about how fans, when they see a movie about a comic book adaptation, they get all, like, you know, they start a shitstorm, and they get, like, all they got their dookie stuck in their asses because, oh, the actor's not going to do it well and everything. And I always say, come on, give the guy or girl a freaking chance. They might surprise you rather than, like, you know, get all uppity. Like, for example, people when they found out Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, everyone was like, no, Heath Ledger won't do anything justice to the comic. And
he's a pretty boy.
And then when he was done, people were like fapping, you know, they were like stroking their brain Johnsons, like, oh my god, Heath Ledger's like the best Joker since, and they say that he's better than fucking
Nicholson,
or comparing him to Nicholson. I was like, wait a minute, didn't you just before the movie start told me that he's gonna blow monkey chunks, and now you're telling me that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread with crack in it?
Yeah.
So, like, make up your mind. Why are you such a bandwagoner, you know? One or the other. Either A, be open to interpretation and don't be such an asshole, or B, at least stick with your conviction and hate them from the beginning to the end. Even if you think they're good, just be hateful just for the sake of the fact that you don't look like a turncoat at the end of it.
Well, no, I mean, I don't mind people changing their opinion, but it's just like, I'm going to use this, not a comic book, but we'll use the new Ghostbusters for an example. Oh, I'm seeing people crying, oh, this girl's ruining my childhood. First of all, unless the first movie, like if Ghostbusters that movie's able to travel back in time and destroy the Dan Aykroyd Ghostbusters, it's not ruining your childhood.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario.
And quite frankly, if your entire childhood is based entirely on Ghostbusters, guess what? It's ruined already.
Yeah.
There's really no hope for you anymore.
So all these people, they're crying. Oh, they just saw they watched a still photo of the girls in uniform. Like, oh, this is like a bad cosplay. Look at the bloody original. Look at the original jumpsuit. It was just guys in jumpsuits. It wasn't something fancy.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, you know, if you put up that poster now of like this new movie with these top comedians called Ghostbusters, and it's exactly, you know, the Dan Aykroyd guys, you'd be like, wow, that looks so lame. You know, all I'm saying is before. But, you know, saying my childhood is ruined or blah blah blah, or why do we need another remake? Mm-hmm. Why do we need remakes? Because no one's watching the originals.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The original was made 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Those DVDs are not selling. They're a good property. They're a good story. Why bury them? I mean, I don't see, like, you know, literary nerds crying every time someone makes a new Shakespeare movie. Bang, brought it back to the Montagues and the...
Woo! Up top!
Visual high fives in an audio medium.
This is getting a little too intelligent for our crowd, I think.
No, our crowd, they're smart guys, man.
Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, ooh, man.
I mean, though we haven't met any of our crew yet, but I think we have a pretty, you know, wide range of fans, you know? Yeah. Those who understand what pegging is.
Yes.
Those who were horrified to learn it last week.
Yeah.
And those who are willing to try it.
Just for the record, this show is educational. The only question is, do you really want to learn what we're telling you? that's the question.
That's true.
But back to the matter at hand. It's always something going on with fans. I, as a comic book fan myself, you know, I've been reading comics since I was 10 years old. And, you know, I've seen all the remakes. I've done all the stuff, you know, and everything. But, you know, the first remake, the first comic book adaptation I ever saw in the theater was when the first X-Men came out when
Hugh Jackman
was first revealed to be Wolverine. I was like, oh man, he's a little too tall and everything, but I was willing to...
He's
no Glenn Danzig. But, like, I was willing to give the movie a shot because, like, you know, it's a freaking movie adaptation of a comic book. That in itself is an achievement. You know? And I'm not saying there haven't been good adaptations. Like, I like the original Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
I love that movie.
Even people say, well, that's not really the Punisher. It's like, dude, it's a good action movie. He kills Yakuza. Shut the fuck up, okay?
I mean, it's a simple story. Guy's family gets killed. He kills bad guys. Falls in love with Louis Gossett Jr.
As we all do.
And that's it. I really love that movie, too. I remember that. I mean, I remember when I first came out, that shit cost $90 to VHS.
Yeah.
I always wonder why certain VHS tapes were so expensive and others weren't. And that blows my mind. Like, who would pay $90 for a movie?
Yeah, exactly. But, so, there are, people think, oh, this is like a new thing, like all these movie, comic book adaptations. There's been comic book adaptations for years. Freaking the Tim Burton Batman is still one of my all-time favorite films.
Ew.
Don't give me that.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Hector, but in my opinion, I like the Tim Burton movie. Whenever Jack Nicholson's on screen, it is the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't the whole comparison between Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson, because pound for pound, Jack, I love him a whole lot more, but Jack Nicholson was basically playing Jack Nicholson with makeup, and he rocked it.
Yeah.
And Heath Ledger, you know, did the whole, what do you call that? Like, that kind of method acting, whatever, and he literally became the Joker.
Yeah.
But now, whenever, if you watch it today, I don't know, people listening, maybe you could leave something on a message board in my dick or my honest or whatever. Like, whenever Jack Nicholson isn't on screen, I'm just like, what the hell am I watching? What is this crap? And, I mean, you can tell, when you watch Batman Returns, Jesus H, man, that movie's horrible. The studio, you know, Batman, the first one, had a lot of studio notes. Like, hey, the movie needs this, 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 and you know, the producers and everyone, they're up, you know, they're on Tim Burton's ass. Like, hey, we're giving you money, make sure this happens. Part two, they're like, oh, we'll give him more free reign. And in part two, Batman kills so many people and no one cries. But spoiler alert, in Man of Steel, in Man of Steel, when Superman kills somebody, spoiler alert, I'm not gonna say his name, all the internet nerds started crying. Oh, Superman never kills, blah, blah, blah. Then we watch Superman 2, and Superman kills the exact same guy. No one says a peep.
I never understood why people are like that, man. Like, it's just so mind-boggling. I mean, yes, Superman has not killed. This is the first time Superman's killed consciously in anything, but, like,
He did in part two. He literally kicked the guy to his, like, God, nigga, and then he kicked him down to, he kicked the guy to his death.
Yeah,
In the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, I'm talking about in the totality of the,
of the modern
of Superman's mythos, you know, he's like, no, but there have been many times where Superman has killed people, like, because he's got his brainwashed, or because he had the red kryptonite, and no one says, oh, well, that's because he had the red, like, motherfucker, he's still, like, crushed a human head into a diamond, so get off of it, you know. But people, here's the difference between Superman and Batman, though. People say Superman shouldn't kill because of blah 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 blah. People want Batman to kill. People have been wanting Batman to kill from Jump Street, and
he actually did in during Jump Street.
Yeah, like at the beginning, he did. He had a gun in the first comics.
Yeah, so he did kill people back.
So
in the
like
day.
People were expecting it. So it's just about expectations. But quite frankly, I think the reason that they don't want Superman to kill is because if he just starts killing, what the fuck is going to stop him from killing? Like, he just becomes this massive engine of destruction. Basically, there's very little to no super creations in DC Universe that can slow him down. It would take the entire DC villain and superhero forces combined to take him out. So that's why nobody wants to kill him. Oh, but if, like, Captain Marvel kills someone, that's perfectly fine. If Shazam kills someone, even though he has the same basics roster of powers, no one's bat an eye. And I just think there's a lot of hypocrisy amongst fan people, and it kind of bugs me.
Yeah. I mean, it bugs me when it's, like, that's a hypocrisy in the same character. You know, like, why is it okay for Richard Donner to have Superman kill somebody? But, yeah, when Zack Snyder does it, there's like, oh, my childhood is ruined. No, it wasn't. He killed during your childhood, people. Relax. Yeah.
And let me just say this. Like, he didn't want to kill Zod. He had to kill Zod. Because think about it. Zod was about to, like, and spoiler alert, but Zod was about to waste a kid and his mother.
For shits and giggles.
Exactly. So what would you rather him have? Let Zod live and continue this constant reign of this destruction? Because one full-powered Kryptonian is like he's like the force of like a hydrogen bomb. Or snap his neck, kill the guy, and let thousands upon thousands upon thousands live. And don't forget, he was terraforming the fucking land, turning the Earth into another Krypton by increasing its gravity that would have destroyed all mankind. So, in retrospect, you cannot tell me one single solitary person that was in the situation that Superman was wouldn't do what he did. I'm not going to deny it. If it were between killing a bunch of people die, I would have snapped his head like a chicken bone.
Billions. And not for nothing. People complain, oh, there's too much destruction. But people complain like the last one, the one with the guy, I forgot his name. The one who's currently playing Adam.
Brandon Ralph.
Yeah, when Brandon Ralph Superman, that was boring as hell. Oh, there wasn't enough action. And then this one was just action. Oh, look, people complained. I mean, and the thing is that Clark is not a trained fighter at this point in time. He's just a dude with superpowers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just happened to fight all these other people with superpowers.
Yeah, and keep in mind, the other people with superpowers, they're military trained.
Yeah.
So if it came down to just that, Clark should have never won.
Yeah, and it's just that, you know, all that destruction happens when, you know, that's what happens when these two high power beings fight. And, you know, it's funny, when I was watching that movie in a theater, kind of like, you know, nerdgasming, in the back of my head, I kept thinking, if they could do this, we could get a Dragon Ball Z movie. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, I know this is a really, really weird comparison, but saying that there's too much action or death and destruction in the Man of Steel movie is like saying there's too much action and destruction in freaking Saving Private Ryan. I think it's the same thing. Because you say, well, isn't Saving Private Ryan about a military? Well, yeah, but it's also about, you know, an evil force being taken out by a force of good. Which, what is not, is that not what Superman is? I mean, like, think about it. Zod is just as powerful as the entire freaking Nazi military by himself. And there was three of them, because there was two other people involved. And so, you know, that destruction would have happened regardless.
Yeah, so.
So it's, look, all I'm going to say is this, is like, no matter what you do, you put in more action, there's going to be people who would say there's too much of it. You take away the action, people going to say there's not enough. You put in what, you take away death, they're going to say there's not many enough people die. You put in death, they're going to say too many people die. You take it out, so it means not enough people die. Like, there is never a point where everybody's happy. Everybody's always got a complaint in their under their belt, ready to pull it out.
Yeah, actually, one of my best friends, he was annoyed about the it was a remake that he was annoyed about, and I'm like, why are you complaining? And he's like, oh, well, perfect example, the new Ninja Turtles movie, you know, which, to be honest, it's a shitty movie, but I had fun watching it.
Yeah,
you know. Not to sound old, but I really, the fact that I related to Will Arnett's Vern too much kind of like hit me in the gut.
Yeah.
Side note, like, I was telling that to one of my friends. She's like 26. I go, man, I don't want to sound old or anything. She just cut me off. She's like, yes, you are old. And I was like, oh, God, my ribs. She's like, it's like a spear of destiny right there. So anyway, and he's like, well, the reason why remakes are terrible because, you know, he went with his friend's girlfriend. They saw it. And then she's like, oh, that was a good movie. He's like, what? That movie's terrible. And he's like, we're watching the original. And then they saw the original, and she didn't like it as much. So because of that, he's like, see, that's why remakes ruin good movies. I'm like, no, dude. They've ruined the movie for you. Because, you know, remakes are not made. To be honest, remakes are not made for us. I mean, right now, the new Ninja Turtles movie, they're throwing a lot of things at us fans. Yeah. So we're still not going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to lie. Then anything with that involves ninjas and mutants and ninjas and turtles, it doesn't even have to be in that order. I'm a happy man. And, you know, the new movie is throwing all that stuff at us, and watch, people are still not going to be happy. You know, we got Bebop and Rocksteady, we got Baxter Stockman, we're going to get a real Shredder.
Yeah.
I actually liked Saxon, the bad guy, in the first one. I mean, obviously, him being Shredder, that was whoever, if that was the original plan, that was dumb. But mm-hmm. I like that actor, which I'm drawing a blank on his name. Let's blame our beer sponsor today, Foster's.
And Bex, the only time these two nations will be in the same room and not have into a fist fight.
Yeah. Mm. So, let's take a quick beer break and take a sip, brother.
To beer.
To this is happening.
To this happening, and all that will happen.
Mm. Oh, man. So, let's talk about what we did last week physically, because in this podcast, we like to, like, it's also like a diary of New York City that, you know,
yeah.
Hector and I, we love to, you know, have weekly adventures.
Yeah.
And this last week, we...
At least what we can remember.
Yeah, this last week, we actually did, for the first time ever, well, I did it when I was a kid, the New York's fireworks.
Yeah.
And we got lucky, man. We got... Actually, uh-oh.
Segway! Perfect segue.
No, I was going to mention, wait, yeah, actually, you didn't even make it to the fireworks. We're not going to mention why.
I'll tell the story.
He got arrested.
Shut up. I'll tell the full story. It's not a long story. Do I include the ending? What happened at the end?
Yeah, that's up to you. Brother. Okay, this is up to you because, like, for the record, you know, this is being recorded, and this shall be posted online for the world to hear.
I'm ready for everything.
For the rest
so I don't
of
care.
Your life.
Yes, I so love. So if I'll you ever get people know how big of a slut I am.
If you ever get married, and 10 years from now your wife hears this, and she's gonna be like, "What? You had sex once without
don't
me?"
Worry. No, it's okay. My wife will more than likely not speak English, so it'll be all good. And now, if this were to be translated, then I'm fucked.
Yeah, which you know, in the future they'll probably have like automatic Google verbal translation.
I'll get myself like the most obscure wife. I'll get like a Benghazi wife just so that. No, so this is my story of what happened to me on 4th of July weekend. There are lows and there are highs. There are laughs and there are cries.
Oh yeah. Perfect.
So I was hanging out with these guys, this guy over here, and
this guy over here.
So it started off like he wanted me to meet him at the World Trade Center, and like apparently I got on the wrong train, ended up at 33rd Street, and that would have been easy enough. But then he went to this bar called the Patriot Bar, Patriot Saloon. Shout out to Patriot Saloon, by the way.
Best cheap beer in the city.
Exactly, for the best cheap people. Anyway, so there we were. So, like, I had to take a cab with a friend of mine, and we ended up spending, like, $12 to get there. And so there we were, and things were going out pretty well. You know, we were drinking our drinks, had the
Patriot Ale.
The Patriot Ale, and the margarita shots were pretty damn tasty.
The American shots.
The American shots. And as we were there, like, what happens, like, this guy decides he wants to hear some Schwarzenegger karaoke, which is when I do my Schwarzenegger impression while I sing whatever popular song is playing on the jukebox.
Which we're going to post those videos on YouTube very soon.
Yeah, that's happening.
Or, I mean, we're going to post it on YouTube, and we're going to post it on our page, so you can click the play button. And we'll hear Hector's Schwarzenegger. Yeah. See, what are we doing? It's raining.
I call it Hector Terminates the Classics.
Nice, I love it.
Yeah,
we're onto something.
And if you want, go to the site, type in what kind of song you want me to sing, and I do requests.
All right, yeah. On the message board, we're gonna have a form that says Hector Terminates the Requests.
Yes. So anyway, so I did my thing, and people were cracking up. We were having a good time. We were getting pretty sauced. And then, this guy decides, oh, I'm hungry. I want to go to McDonald's. So we go to McDonald's. By the way, big shout out to McDonald's.
That small company needs as much shout outs as it can.
Yeah, that's right.
For the record, I normally don't eat McDonald's, but, it was America's birthday, and yeah. I don't think there's anything more American than McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right. The only way it could be more American is if Captain America was serving to us on his shield.
That's right.
While a bald eagle fed it to us. That's the only way it could have been more America.
America.
And had, like, Wilford Grimley next to us nodding in approval. Anyway,
If any nerds, like, email us to say that Wilford Grimley's from Canada or something, shut up.
Yeah. He's fucking American in my book. Screw you. Anyway, I nearly got into a fist fight with two guys at the McDonald's because I was in the line.
The long line.
It was a freaking long line. It consumed the whole upstairs, and I finally get to the end, and I was waiting patiently. I was looking at my phone. I wasn't talking to anybody. I was holding in my dookie. You know, I was being a good line holder. You know, I was being good, and finally got in my. I took a little longer because, come on, when you gotta do your business, you take a while. So what happens? I get a knock on the door. I mean, like, why do people do that? Why do you make us wait for you? But when it's my turn, oh, that's when things go south. Anyway, so I get out, and I nearly get into a fist fight with this British guy, no joke, and this other guy.
Oh, man, you should text me. I would have sent that guy right back. This is for the colonies.
This is for the colonies, which is, the irony is palpable.
That's what I'm saying, man. Had I known that, I would have said, show them how us colonials do battle.
And then, so eventually we got out of the McDonald's, and then we got on our way to the FDR Drive for being a passageway into the highway. And so, like, we got in, and there was a capacity. I don't know what the capacity was exactly, but there was a capacity. And we were there, and for some goddamn reason, there are no porta-potties there. Like, they don't care.
It's a highway.
But they don't, yeah, put in some, like, two or three care about your freaking people out there. It's a madhouse. It's a madhouse. You are in territory of supreme insanity there. I mean, I've seen freaking, sideshow carnivals here in Jersey where they have porta potties. You can wheel in a couple of porta potties. Don't be a lazy bastard.
Yeah, they should. I mean, they should at least have some in front.
Yeah, like they don't. They really don't care about their people at all. I'm saying like this, New York, you don't care about your people. I'm saying it right now. Anyway, so I decided, man, if I don't, I have to use the bathroom again because you know there was something going on in my stomach, and I said to myself, well, I'm gonna leave. And come back.
I thought we were going to see you for the rest of the night, to be honest.
So I left, and I started walking. Now, this is around the Brooklyn Bridge, for those who don't know. And I had to walk 5 blocks to find a bathroom. I went from being near the Brooklyn Bridge all the way to being on Canal Street, which is in Chinatown. And I finally found a bathroom in an Italian restaurant. I ended up having to buy a soda just to use it. And again, I get the door knocked on me, but I said to this son, listen, I don't care how hard you knock, I am not hurrying it up. Anyway, I finally finished it. I made a mad dash back to where I tried to get in, but of course, capacity full, they were not letting anyone else in. So I had to see the fireworks, or whatever I could see, across the street from the freaking parking lot, which was the saddest group of people you've ever come across. It's like, what if the DMV held over? That's what you got there. You know, mothers with their kids. It was horrible. And I got mad. I was like, I'm going to go home. I don't want to be here anymore. Yeah, but then
he sends us a photo of him with a sad face, and all of us collectively just turned off our phones.
Yeah, I know, you bastards. Anyway, so I said, I started coming to my senses, you know, I started calming down. Says, you know, I'm not here so much for the fireworks. I'm here more for my friends and hanging out with them. And I'm glad I decided to go with this decision because...
Yeah, I'm glad too.
Because once the night rolled around, the fireworks ended around 10 o'clock, and I kind of met these guys around 10:20. And they said, oh, we're going to go to Clockwork.
The Clockwork Bars. I can't even get into the address right now. I'm drunk.
big shout out to Clockwork Bar for being both a bar and having the name Clockwork. I don't know. No, you guys rock. You have good beer and
$6 for a tall boy and a shot.
Mm-hmm. Can't lose with that. Whiskey and beer. Can't lose.
$6. Tip your bartenders. Always tip your bartenders.
Always. Don't be a fucking asshole.
Alright, can I take over for a second?
Go ahead.
So now we're at the Clockwork and there's a line to get into the bathroom again. This time all of us gotta go. And there's a chick in front of us. I never learned her name. I don't know if you learned her name. Anyway,
I didn't learn her name.
And we're like, I'm making a joke. I'm like, to save time, you, me, and the rest of the party, we're all going to share a bowl and just go at the same time. We're all going to pee in the same bowl. Just hold hands and don't make eye contact.
Yeah, now I remember. You're right.
Or was it make eye contact?
We all hold hands, too.
Yeah, hold hands.
And we had one designator holder, which is one guy that holds all of our dicks.
Yeah. So this lady thought it was funny and blah, blah, blah. So we all go to the bathroom. We all go back upstairs. And we all order our drinks. We're drinking, and she comes to us, and she's all like, "Oh, hey, did you guys use the bowl at the same time?" And we're all laughing, blah blah blah. Hector starts talking to her because at first I wanted to leave. I'm like, "We're leaving," but when Hector started talking, I'm like, "All right, guys, let's stay for a minute. I think this is going somewhere. I'll take over."
So I started talking to her. Now the thing about it is like I wasn't focusing on her I wasn't hitting on her. She just seemed like a really funny person. I decided I wanted to talk and see whatever. Now, I can't remember either of their names. So, I'm just going to call her White Girl 1 and White Girl 2.
Blonde Girl 1. Blonde Girl 2.
Yeah. Racist. Blonde. Yeah. Okay, Blonde Girl 1 and Blonde Girl 2. So, BG1 and BG2. So, I was talking to Blonde Girl 1, and, you know, I'm just having a conversation. And I'm just chilling, you know, we're talking about, like, random shit. And she's a little sauce. She's, like, you know, she's slurring, extending her vowels. And, like, so was I, because, you know. And her friend, which we refer to as Blonde Girl 2, was being hit on by this big white dude. Like, he was, and he was sloppy.
He was done. He was from North Carolina. It was his first time in the city, and I was the other people in our crew could tell you. A little bit later, I was warming up to beat him up. You're occupied. I was doing my stretch, my MMA stretches. I was just like, this guy makes one false move, it's done.
I know, this guy was like leaning into her, like he was like, give me a kiss, give me a kiss, and like the slobber down his face. He looked like a dying dog, you know, like a Saint Bernard that was on its last legs. It was terrible. And the girl was like, she had her hands up and she was her facing away. She was like, no. No, I don't want it. And I'm like, man, I feel sorry for this girl, you know? And then blonde girl one said, hey, can you do me a favor? And he's like, okay, sure. What? Can you go over here to my friend and pretend to be her boyfriend just to keep the guy off? So I kind of pondered the question a little, like, oh, well, I've never been in a situation before. Like, I don't want to get into an altercation. But at the same time, I was kind of drunk. And I said to myself, you know what? I want to help out this girl because I know what it's like to be hit by people that you're not attracted to. Believe me, it happens when you're a sexy motherfucker.
That's right.
And
it's usually me.
He has to stop hitting on me. Anyway, so I went over to the crew, which consists of this guy and the other friends, and I said, "Listen, I don't know what's gonna go down, so just in case, be alert, you know." So like, I went back. Now, my intent was to go to blonde girl 2, throw my arm around her, give her a little peck on the kiss, peck on the face, and like, just have it end there. Unbeknownst to me, she pulls me in. Now we're making out. I mean, we are really making out. You ever seen two people make out like they're trying to eat each other's face? This is what was happening.
This was happening.
Yeah, this is happening. And like, I had like my shirt. I had a shirt with like these sleeves cut off. And they're like, so like there's these big holes on the side, and he's like, she's sticking her hand in there and rubbing my back and clawing my back and touching my chest, and she's like, this chick is handsy. And then the guy, he looks at us once and he's like, ugh, and he just walks away.
No, he doesn't walk away. He stood there. Like, I mean, you were really preoccupied for a minute. And I told the other crew, I'm like, guys, hold my beer. And I'm like I said, I was stretching. And I was like, you know, he was big. He was like at least 6'4".
Yeah, he was a mountain. He was a mountain.
Yeah, he was a hoss. But hoss means nothing if your ass gets choked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like I said, while that was happening, I was getting ready to beat him up. I was getting ready to choke his ass out, throw him out the bar. But luckily, he left beforehand. He tried making friends with us. We should have tried to hustle him for beer, but we never thought about it. I was too in the zone to think about hustling.
I'm a hustler.
So then eventually I told blonde girl one, I was like, hey, are you married to this bar? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I want to go to the Double Down. Shout out to Double Down. We might have done a shout out last week, but you know, had a feeling my buddy Allison was working at the Double Down. If she's there, give her extra tips. Be cool, people.
I'm serious. Tip her like you're trying to knock her over.
Yeah. So she's like, no, I'm going home. And I'm like, oh man, I just ruined, in my head, I'm like, I ruined it for Hector because usually once the friend wants to go home, usually it means the other one has to go home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm in my head, I'm already like, my head is down. I'm like, oh, damn, I feel so bad. But she's like, but she can stay with you guys. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Here's the thing. Like, when I was making out with this girl, I really had no intention for it to go any further. I was like, even when Diego told me, hey, we're going to this other bar, I was like, okay, it's over now. I'm done. And then she's like, oh, we'll go with you. I'm like, holy shit, this is happening. But here's the funny thing, like, I didn't realize it till later on, but I got wing-womaned. She did it hardcore, because, like, I'm walking with a blonde woman, too, and we're actually hand-in-hand, we're just having a conversation, I don't know what the fuck was going on. I actually just held her hand, because she kept, like, lagging behind, because I didn't want her to, like, get lost. So, like, we're walking, and in the conversation, and, like, so her friend, blonde girl one, decided... the one that I was that we were talking to originally,
yeah.
She said, I'm feeling kind of sleepy. I'm going to go home. And then she says to me, make sure that my friend gets home safe. And I'm like, okay. Again, sauce, didn't quite understand how to respond to it, so I just went with it.
Yeah.
So we got to Double Down, shout out. So now we're making out again, and it's like just as furious as before. And I'm like, and she's like, you know, nudging and everything. She really likes me. And then she says to me, you know, my apartment's like 2 blocks from here.
Nice.
Now, here's the thing. I am a well-spoken person. I'm an educated person. I have a very existential vocabulary. I'm well read. I'm educated. And at the time, the only thing that came out of my mouth was word. That was the extent of my mastery of the English language. She said, I live two blocks from here, and I put out a word.
Word?
I don't know what the hell. I was drunk. So anyway, she smiles, grabs my hand, and now she's leading me out there. Like, I'm like, what the hell is going on? There are no words being exchanged at this point. She just grabs me and runs. Diego lifts his glass and winks at me like he's at the end of a freaking 80s action film.
The nod of approval, like, he doesn't know what's happening, but I know what's happening. So I'm like, Hector, this is happening.
Like, so anyway, we get to our apartment, and it's a typical Manhattan apartment. It's small as hell. I'm telling you, it's tiny. And she has a roommate, and a cat. And, like, I'm telling you right now, if I was carrying a big gulp with me, it wouldn't have been enough for everything. Room for anything. So anyway, so we get inside of her room, and her lights don't work.
Yeah, it's the Lower East Side, people.
So it's wonderful, but she has like this light, this window that like feeds light into the room, so it's everything kind of like a bluish gray, kind of like in one of those old Madonna videos.
Yeah. Can I cut you off?
Go ahead.
So people, you know, for our listeners who don't live in the New York area, let me tell you something. If you want an affordable apartment, it is not going to be anything you see on TV.
Definitely not.
It's going to be a closet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to share that closet with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of appliances aren't going to work. And you're spending thousands of dollars for this hole in the wall. So everyone who thinks, you know, the Big Apple is the place to be, it is in small doses. Come here for a weekend. You know, be tourist. Hit up all our spots, both local and the tourist traps. But to live here, it takes a whole special breed of person.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to think it's
rich
like,
people.
Yeah, I want you to think it's like Sex in the City, and it's like, oh, everyone lives like no. It's we all live in hole in the walls.
Seriously, unless you're like a stockbroker who's to the stars, you're gonna be broke and you're not gonna work out there.
All right, so.
So anyway, back to
So her lights aren't working.
So her lights are not working. Get away from me. So her lights aren't working, and that also means, and she has no air conditioning.
Oh
my god, it was like a freaking shoot. But she had like this fan, like one of those tiny fans I blew onto the bed. I was like, okay, I can work with this.
Look, man, when you're ready to go, you can work with anything.
Yeah, like I tell you right now, the floor can be boiling lava, and I'm like, I'm not leaving yet. So. You know, so we're making out on an attractive woman, by the way, possibly the hottest chick I've ever been with, and you know, we're having at it, and like we're doing like the under the clothes kind of thing where we're like pawing at each other, and so we get naked, as often people who are about to have sex do, and so we go at it, and we go at it for like 3 hours, you know. And once we're done, you know, we're tired and everything. She's trying to go to sleep, but I can't go to sleep with a damn because, like, I'm wide awake. And I said to myself, well, you know, it's about 3-something. Maybe I can meet up with my friends again and, like, rejoin this guy. And I said to her, listen, I don't want to keep you up all night. You know, you obviously want your sleep, but I'm going to get going. And she said, all right. And I said, I don't know the protocol, so I said, do you want my phone number or something? She said, no, you can go. Which was basically the universal say for, like, your dick is done. Out.
Out with you.
Like, she got what she wanted out of me. So I was done. I was out. And I tried to relocate these guys, but their phones were dead. And so I ended up spending the night at the Pyramid. Big shout out to the Pyramid and all of its patrons.
Yeah, where you met my other crew.
Yeah, and after a little time there, we walked to the Lit Lounge. Big shout out to Lit Lounge. At 4 o'clock rolled around, 4 a.m. So I decided I'm just gonna start getting home, and that's pretty much how my night ended. you know, anonymous sex with a woman
who you don't know her name, and there's a great chance she doesn't know your name.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure if she saw me again, she would not recognize me.
And because of that, I'm going to Clockwork tonight, see if she's a regular.
Oh, Diego. I didn't know you were up for sloppy seconds.
Just kidding. Knowing this chick's probably like sloppy 30 seconds.
Oh!
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't.
I mean, unless you're married.
Yeah.
Or even if you're married and you guys have those rules established, you know, there's no slut shaming on this show.
No, there is no slut shaming because everybody's a slut somehow.
Somehow.
You know, we're all sluts for something. So, if you watch a lot of anime, guess what? You're an anime slut.
Yeah. So, in this episode, we had two Hector going to the bathroom stories and him getting laid.
Yes.
On next week's episode, I'll tell a story where I go to the bathroom. And we'll have that cliffhanger where I think the news crew was almost called in. So, for Hector, I forgot your name as usual. This is Diego. We're signing out. Thank you for listening to This Is Happening. Please download our future episodes. All questions, comments, and queries, send us that email. Follow us on the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook. You know, stay active because you know what? We like to be active.
And don't forget.
And it's not just sexually.
And don't forget to sign up and put a post up your request for Hector.
Terminates
the classics. And remember, you have to put your minds in it. You have to put your songs there. And I'll sing the songs. It'll be fantastic.